Hey, and here we are at 7 o'clock p.m. This is Rust Is Dar, Survive to Thrive Radio Network. Thank you, Steve Quayle. And I walked into a high school years and years ago trying to somehow pray my way, get my way into the school to reach young people for Christ. The secretary, when I told her who I was, blurted out. Now, listen, this is an inner city, secular school, and she blurted out, "Praise the Lord." And I was kind of taken aback because we've seen again and again and again where schools were telling us to stay out and don't bring our Bibles in and leave the kids alone. She led me down a back hallway to the principal's office. Coming out of the office was a young lady, probably a junior in high school, and she had a Gospel of John in her hands. And the principal was telling her to come back the next day and he would give her some discipleship material. As she went out and I went in, the principal stood there and welcomed me and told me how he would be able to get me in the school and allow me to share Christ and do our ministry. He had just led that teenage girl to Christ. He had given her a Gospel of John. And now he's opening the door for me to come into that school and share Christ and do ministry. Now that's the kind of leader. That's the kind of leader in what he believes, what he's willing to do. He opened the door for blessing. He opened the door for blessing. I went to another high school in the same city. As we got there, we were literally put at the end of a table, like 12 feet away. The principal came in very hurried and annoyed that we were there and looked at us. And before we could even finish our, you know, what we'd like to do and how we wanted to help young people, he cut us off, told us not to bring our Bible into the school, that we were not to put any leaflets in the school, and that no, and politely said, leave. So one man opened the door to a high school where individual young people could be reached. Another man shut the door absolutely. Now, that did not deter us. We looked for another way. We have a calling. We have a mission. We have a God that can open iron barred gates. You ever read that in the book or the gospel or not the book, the book of Acts? That's right, the book of Acts. God works in great supernatural ways, but I'm going to tell you right now, not everybody knows him. Not everybody's walking with him. Not everybody in politics. Well, let me say, it's hard to find somebody sold out for God, for Christ. By God's providence, maybe there's a politician going to listen. By God's providence, maybe there's somebody that feels they now need to enter into the arena. Listen, dear listeners, we are in for it here. Politicians are like the gateways for ideologies, laws, influences. They are the gateways for freedom to lead and open the doors to real God-given freedom, or to slam those doors, spit in the face of God, and open the nation to damnation. We do reap what we sow. There is either blessings or cursings. And I'm going to tell you tonight here on this Survive to Thrive radio network that if you're listening tonight, we're doing a series this week. It is called simply, well, it is called America, Home of the Free or Home of the Damned, the State of the Union. You know how presidents get up and they give the State of the Union address. And they try to tell everything that makes it sound good for their administration, what they're doing. But the battle lines are clearly drawn. There is great anger in America. There's governors of state and attorney generals today that are suing the government and suing over the new healthcare bill. And there's battle lines all over the place. And abortion is an issue. And babies at the other end of the abortion litigation, at the abortion, laws or non-laws. Who will speak for those little babies? And what do we see occurring concerning the ideology? Listen, I want to tell you something very clearly here before we get into a few announcements. Socialism is a broad, strong platform for the coming globalism. Futurologist Alvin Toffler, years ago in a book called The Third Wave, made reference to all of Europe when he said that Europe has a messiah complex. They're so used to being ruled and run, and they are so dependent upon, leaders. Somebody that would lead them, somebody that would guide them, somebody that would... So they've got a messiah complex. They want somebody that can rule with an iron hand, and they want to be taken care of. Now, that's somewhat what socialism down the road will do. Socialism becomes a platform ultimately for globalism. And I'm going to tell you, as Steve Quayle has told you and many others, if you're listening tonight on this station, if you're downloading the archives, then you understand the inspiration behind globalism. I mean, it's not just about national sovereign, rights. Globalism has behind it in its conception, inspiration, development, evolution, and ultimately when it bursts out onto the scene, there is a mighty, powerful, even the Bible calls this presence an enormous, a megas, an enormous dragon, a presence. Listen to me, dear listeners, tonight, that there is a spiritual battle that does guide men and women. Your life right now is guided spiritually one way or the other. I told listeners last night I would be reading the philosopher Flew, the world's most popular atheist. He now believes in God. And in the first couple of chapters I'm reading where he's basically now opened up to God in the sense of that there is a divine, there is a divine being. He's no longer someone that believes that there is no God and that he's no longer an atheist. Let me tell you something. Who we are, what we believe, has everything to do with how we would rule, how we run our a job, how we work at a job, what we would do as a politician. Every politician has spiritual beliefs. Oh, they could be New Age today, Luciferic today, Masonic. You've got to understand that all those politicians, they have belief systems. They have things that guide them and direct them. And for those that understand biblical revelation and the spiritual dynamic behind the scenes. Remember the story? It's the Last Supper, the Lord's table. The disciples that had been with Jesus about 3 years had seen, they had heard, they had watched, they're ready to be launched as, part of the foundation of the mission, the church, and what Christ came to release into the world. Let me tell you something just quickly on that. Jesus Christ did not come to release a bunch of pacifists, a bunch of waiters, a bunch of survivalists that were hiding out from everybody else. Listen, right now there is in the United States a seeming Goliath, a Goliath of socialism, a Goliath of abortion and the slaughter of babies, a Goliath of anti-Christianism and anti-Semitism. There's a Goliath in our nation that behind the scenes is prepared to open the doors to globalism. And what's happening is that there's millions of believers out there that are like the Israelites of old, hiding in the rocks. Every day we listen to Goliath scream. Every day we listen to Goliath as he yells, as he hollers, as he blasphemes God, as he stands there defiant with no one to move him. And all of the people of God stood and hid in the rocks. I'm going to say to you right now, that's a tremendous depiction right now here in America. I mean, pastors and leaders and church members, we can all hide in the buildings. As long as nobody comes into our buildings and nobody comes to where we're at to bring any direct encroachment, you know, we all seem to be fine. We're hiding out. Though every day we know the spiritual typology of Goliath is the direct presence, that Luciferic presence, that Antichrist spirit, that presence that opposes God and all that is God's. There's blasphemy in America. There is an affront against the God-given freedom. This is a nation. Like an individual, my father, when I came to Christ, he berated me, cussed me out, yelled at me, laughed at me, made fun of me for 23 years. I kept going to him, flying clear out to California. I flew out to California for 25 years. Negative, angry, belligerent, arrogant, foul-mouthed, mean. The rest of the kids wouldn't go around him. Lost. If he would have died, he would have gone to hell for sure. Didn't want to let one word of Christ come out of my mouth. Didn't want one scripture verse to come out of my mouth. I could have left them there 23 years prior. I could have done like everybody else and just allowed him to live in his mean, angry, sinful, arrogant, and very sad life. But I could not. Have you ever read Paul say these words, "The love of Christ compels me"? Have you ever wondered why missionaries will go into China, they will go into Russia, they will go into lands around the world, they'll go into Iran and Iraq. They'll go all over the world because of the love of Christ, the mission of God, because like David, who wasn't willing to stay up into the rocks, like David, who was not willing to hide, like David, that was incensed with the radical evil that was on the field, the radical evil that was taking up the space, the radical evil that was unleashing its agenda, unleashing its arrogance, unleashing its preoccupation. It was occupying. Why in the world 100 million Christians would be hiding in the rocks? The biblical portrayal is very, very clear. God did not act and work among the doubters, the cowards, the hiders. He didn't work among those who just stood back waiting for the end of everything. He didn't work among them. There's no miracle there. There's no power there. There's no display there. No victory there. Just those hiding out, waiting for something else to be done. Now, David, instead, like we read in the book of Hebrews, where they administered justice, they conquered kingdoms. Is there any believer out there that still believes that kingdoms can be conquered? That justice could be administered? By faith, they turned the world upside down. And I believe that American believers are sitting back with a spiritual oppression, a spiritual depression, and a spiritual weakness that is aiding and abetting the damnation of America. That's giving room to the dogs of the dark side. Are we willing to give over one individual? I wasn't willing to give over my dad. I went to prayer for him. I fought for him in prayer. I went again and again and again and again and again and took the abuses. 23 years later, Can't tell the entire encounter, but the encounter was some people came to my door, gave me a ticket to fly to California, said they knew that I had to go one more time and witness to my father. And so I flew out to California. I prayed all the way there. I got to see my dad. And there again, I attempted to tell him about Christ. He shut me down. The next day I attempted, he shut me down. The next day I just told him. See, I led his mother, my grandmother. I led his mother at 80 years old. I led his mother to Christ. I led my grandmother to Christ. I was there the day she died. She looked up at me and put her hand on my face. She told me to be warm. She knew she was going to heaven. She knew she had the gift of eternal life. She had no fear. She knew she was going. And right there in front of my face, my grandmother left, absent from the Lord, or from the body, present with the Lord. And so I told my dad, and he loved his mother. His mother was quite different than him. I said, you'll never see your mother, ever in all of eternity, because you reject Christ, you seal out, you're arrogant against God, you're holding on to your sin. And we talked and we talked, and he let me share one scripture and another scripture. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I shared again and again, and all the prayers and all of what occurred, the Spirit of God broke him down, opened his heart. That night, 23 years later, my dad received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I wasn't willing to give him up. I wasn't willing. I sought the Lord and prayed. Even like Moses did for Israel, when judgment was coming and Moses went out on a limb and he prayed. So many of us know that judgment is coming. God is in charge of the judgment. When Christ comes, all the nations will face a judgment. Russia and its atheistic communist persecution of believers, it's decadent, it's packed with drugs, it's packed with crime, it's packed with abortion. You think America's bad? Try living in Russia. You think America's bad? Try living in China. You think America's bad? Try living in Iran. You think America's bad? Try living in North Korea. Live in lands where politicians are sold out against God and they've led their nations in a critical mass of, anti-God, self-exaltation. Kind of like Rome. Would we rather live there? And yet there are believers in China, and believers in Korea, and believers in the Middle East that are praying for God to strike, praying to advance the gospel. We know of women in China called the Nightwalkers. They'll get up at 2 o'clock in the middle of the night, pack their little dresses with gospel tracts, and there they will head out when the police are not around, when nobody's watching, and they will go out to share Christ. One of the estimates I heard from the U.S. Center for World Missions years ago was that there may be 200 or more real believers in China. Listen, we've got people downloading these archives in China. We've got people downloading in Russia, in Iran. I look today off of our main site where downloads of all the podcasts and broadcasts and stuff, 70 countries. I am willing to work in any way possible to get the gospel out. I'm willing to do that here in America. I'm not willing to give America up. I'm not willing to give any more room to globalist ideology, to Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, to the doors that will lead America, you know, down a slippery slope. Listen, I'm not willing. Tonight, if you're listening to this voice and you're brand new, this is the Survive to Thrive Radio Network. And I, Russ Dizdar, am the guest host for Steve Quayle. And I count it a privilege to have this time with you. It's a one-hour thing on Tuesday nights, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I know that it's providential. I know that it's the hand of God. I know that we have engaged, listen, the dark side and underneath the carpet, the satanic covens. I've been telling you now for a long time in all of our materials that the rise of satanic rituals, the rise of underground Luciferianism, the rise of demonic manifestation is unprecedented. With the rise of satanic manifestation, with demonic presence, with the doors that have opened to the New Age movement, maybe 60, 70 million in America that opened the doors, to every kind of spirit, every kind of spiritual experience, every kind of spiritual event, where are the finite dark spirits guiding 150 million Americans? If biblical revelation tells me that the spiritual force in the end of days, this prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now supernaturally operative, oh, in a secretive way, just because it's bathed in supernatural secrecy, that's part of its power. It's part of its power, my friends. Politicians are influenced by direct, well, let me tell you, by direct satanic summoning of demons and sending. Politicians are influenced by those who have been placed. Politicians have no idea that there is territorial presence, that there are rulers and principalities that seek to bring their presence, their ideology, their agenda, their rule. And it always involves that spirit of Antichrist. Socialism has bred within it a rejection of God and of Christ, a seeming commitment to the people, but it's really to the elite who rules Europe. The elitists do. The socialist elitists, many of which are direct Luciferian, many of which are given over to the Messiah complex. Many are going to be pushed spiritually into embracing the coming Antichrist. Listen, I don't know about you, but tonight as I speak with you, a brand new urgency is still here. What I saw happen in the United States of America this last week and on Sunday was not just a cultural battle, not just a political battle, and not just a battle about health care. It was a battle of ideologies, and those ideologies have spiritual presence behind it. Politicians like Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi, all of these politicians can become doorways. Doorways for the God-given freedom, doorways that honor God, doorways that open the door to the reception of the Word of God, to the work of God, to the mission of God. Hey, listen, in America, I can still go out and preach the gospel on the streets. I can still share Christ door to door. And I'm going to tell the thousands and thousands listening and millions across our land who are believers in Christ, we are not taking up the opportunity. We are not redeeming the time. It seems as though so many that would listen to this show and listen to all the other conspiracy talk shows, the shows that deal with urgency, the shows that deal with the belief in a shadow government, shadow military, of a dark presence, of a coming Antichrist. Well, the difficulty is this. So many people whom Christ has said you would be the light of the world, they are hiding the power, the magnificence of the wisdom and the knowledge, the presence of God, well, under a barrel, behind locked doors. Sometimes I wonder whether we would rather hold up our guns and claim, you know, pry this from my cold, dead hands. What about holding up the gospel? What about holding up the word of God? What about fierce prayer for America? What about fighting for the soul of the nation, which means fighting for individual lives? What about an agenda to lead politicians to Christ? What about the call of God in the book of Timothy with urgency and first priority that we should be praying for kings, the senators, the representatives, the president, the vice president, the governors, and the mayors? When God has said this is first priority, when God has said we are to be urged in unleashing intercession and every kind of detailed, focused, targeted prayer over our politicians, I could probably ask all of you as believers in Christ, anybody that had gone to church last Sunday and listened to 38 seconds of prayer, what church in America last Sunday morning spent 35, 45 minutes in sustained, powerful, God-led, God-empowered, in the will of God, intercession and spiritual warfare prayers? How many millions of believers stood in churches on Sunday morning, led by spiritually at the cutting edge believing pastors? Well, I'll tell you what. As we come back in a few minutes, we're going to answer some of those questions, and we're going to see whether you and I are willing to take up the cross. Let's listen to Steve Quell real quick. And again, we say thank you to Steve Quayle. And listen, Survive to Thrive, the radio network, tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. Listen, the website that I'm connected with is www.shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. And you're going to see hundreds of MP3s that are free. We have a brand new series we're doing called, well, it's Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. Anybody that understands future biblical prophecy can see that global influence, politicians will be guided by the release of demonic presence. Take a look at Revelation 16. Now, this occurred in the Old Testament days again and again and again. Manasseh, if you go back to read in 2 Kings, you saw the kind of political leader he was. you saw the kind of doorways he opened his nation to. He opened his nation to damnation. He opened his nation to the New Age spirits, and eventually the dark spirits, and then to Moloch, and then to sacrificing babies and giving their children to a torturous and painful death. Manasseh opened the doors to where the signs and the symbols and the dark presence and the shedding of innocent blood was going from one side of the nation to the other. That's in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 21, 22, 23. Thank God for Josiah. You see, if everybody just sat back and everybody just watched and everybody just, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, and you can't fight against it, and you can't do anything against it, that means you're powerless over the issue of the rise of radical evil. And I don't think that is the will of God. I don't think that's what early New Testament believers did. I don't think what reformers like John Knox and his fierce prayers against the wicked Queen of Scotland, she feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. So I'm going to say, and my prayer today is that believers in Christ become fierce in their prayers against evil, in their prayers against political ideologies that are evil, in their prayers for change, in their prayers that God would strike with revival, in their prayers that God would open their own lives into being a committed witness for Christ. When's the last time we've gone door to door? When's the last time we have spent time going after people? The body of Christ is silent in prayer and silent in the mission of God. I'm going to tell you tonight, towards the end of the show, that there's one main reason why Jesus Christ has not returned visibly. Oh yes, he's going to judge. The nations will be under judgment. I began telling you yesterday night about the six reasons why I believe we should fight for America. Number one, because Romans 16 says God wills reaching nations that they might believe him and obey him. Romans 16, 25 on down. Number two, our nation, we have hundreds of thousands, millions of lost individuals and deep satanic encroachment. Number three, the reason for the power of the Spirit of God on believers is that we would be witnesses of Christ, that we would go to all the nations, that we would go to our nation. We're called to go, not sit, not hide. When did God say, okay, stop doing the mission? Stop doing what I have determined is the mission behind the cross and for the world. Number four, the conduct of our culture, like other cultures around the world, perverted, decadent, dark, the moral structure broken down. Number five, the grip of socialism, which is really the slippery slope to globalism. Number six, the issue of whether we want freedom or whether we want damnation, whether we want the blessing or whether we want cursing. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to fight for lives. And maybe tonight there's someone listening, checking it all out. Maybe those that have done reconnaissance on all that we do with deliverance ministry and bringing exposure to mind control and the satanic agenda. And one of the primary reasons we are here by the providence of God is to say this Christ who gave himself involves our salvation, our eternal life. It involves the quality of life, forgiveness and empowerment and knowing God personally. It involves the kind of people we will be. Jesus said we would be the light of the world. The book of Philippians calls us the luminaries. We are the ones that are to bring light to a dark and perverse, a crooked world. Yet if believers by the millions in America just simply hide out, if you can't tell who they are at work, if you can't tell who they are in schools, if you can't tell who they are in the marketplaces, if the most you can do is know that they somehow show up at a church on Sunday, where's the spiritual power? Where is this love of God? Where is this presence of God? Where is the ministry of saving, healing, and deliverance? Where is the testimony of the activity and the work of God? Suppressed and silent, much of the body of Christ can barely pray a few seconds a day. Suppressed and silent, much of the body of Christ on Sunday morning. You gauge it yourself. 38 seconds of prayer, 58 seconds of prayer. Where is the massive, massive, massive? There's so much potential here. Let me just tell you right now, there is so much potential. Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. It is clear in the book of Acts, in that 30-year history, as the believers went out with fierce, massive prayer and fierce, compassionate evangelism, lives were changed, yes. Individuals, groups, families, households, towns, cities. You see, the believers then, compelled by the fire and the grace and the might of God, in obedience to Christ, they were turning the world upside down. In America, those inspired by a different spirit, those inspired by seducing spirits, those inspired by a masqueraded dark light, well, they are the ones taking charge. They are the ones influencing. They are the ones writing the laws. They are the ones signing. And yet you and I can sit back and complain. What good does that do? You and I can sit back and worry. How many hairs can you grow on your head while you worry? What change by the hand of God will occur while we worry? I got a packet today. It came in the mail. It came from France. I don't know who wrote it. It was all about the end of days and survival and what things we need to do and get a backpack and get your water and certain things. And I have no problem with being prepared for any kind of disaster, end of the world issues. You know, if you've read my book, The Black Awakening, that we speak in detail about our response in the end of days. But let me tell you clearly, let me tell you plainly, that Jesus Christ has not hung up the phone. Jesus Christ has not turned off the switch. Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Greek word for every day, forever. For every day. And so, by the hand of God, we must surrender to the living God, be outraged by the Goliath. Be outraged that the President of the United States would not come to the National Day of Prayer, would not speak at a university where there was a cross behind him, but made the university remove the cross. That the President of the United States would honor from the demon god Allah, the territorial prince of Persia, he would honor mosques, bow down to other kings of the world. A president that would sign papers when he first came into office to broaden your tax dollars and my tax dollars to be used for the slaughter of babies in our nation and around the world. I stand opposed to all of that. And all of the prayers and all of the witness and all of the influence that I will live and give will be opposed to radical evil, will be opposed to the spirit of Antichrist. If God tells me greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, I believe that. If God tells me that if God be for us, who could be against us? I believe that. If God shows us in Hebrews 11 that by faith when they believed God and stepped out to do the will of God. They administered justice. They conquered kingdoms. Nations can be persuaded. Politicians can be persuaded. Let's ask the question tonight, who is the light of the world? Who is the light of the world? I would ask Barack Obama, are you the light of the world? I would ask Nancy Pelosi, are you the light of the world? We can go to Dennis Kucinich, are you the light of the world? Stupak, are you the light of the world? Biden, are you the light of the world? All of us know that there's been great deceit behind the scenes. A lot of deals and briberies. A lot of unprecedented actions have been taken. Billions of dollars have been handed over to banks. And some of those billions went overseas to banks in Europe and other places. We've watched as they've taken the funds. We've watched as they've made decisions. We've watched as they have made wrong decisions. We've watched as they have lied. We've watched as they have cheated and are cheating the American people. Sometimes you wonder who's really in control. Who's behind Barack Obama? Who's behind socialist globalist agenda? It's very clear for those who are believers in Christ, you understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood. There's a reason why the Spirit of God has said that first of all and with urgency, sustained, massive prayer, fierce prayer, intercession, specific prayers, targeted prayers need to be pouring out over all the politicians. In a land like this, there should be those who say, I will serve God, I will serve Christ in the context of becoming a politician. Politicians like that today will need to go in fighting against the encroachment of radical evil, the encroachment of the fallen cherub. You see, politicians today, they either use Jesus, even Hitler quoted scripture. I mean, politicians can be dyed-in-the-wool, secret society members and still say they're a believer in Christ, and that is sheer hypocrisy. The question is for every politician, who is Lord? Is Jesus Christ Lord? And the evidence, Jesus said, would be you would be able to know it by their fruit. The confession of their mouth is one thing, but Jesus said by what they do, the fruit, what came out of their life, what actions, ideologies, laws. Politicians, based on biblical revelation, they're going to be judged. Nations will be judged. The ultimate judgment of the nations have not yet come. And though there are many that would say, just let America go to hell. Just let it all crumble. Just let it all fall. Is that what you would do with your mom or your dad, even though they were arrogant, living sinful lives? If you're a mom and a dad, is that what you do to a son or a daughter who's out drinking and partying and turning their back on God for now? Did Jesus teach us to pray and not give up? Or did he teach us to pray for a few moments, for 38 seconds, and then give them all up? Give all of our kids to hell. Give all of our parents to hell. Give all of our local city area, all of our relatives. Give it all over to hell. Give America over to hell. I tell you right now, if there's no resistance, if there's no agenda from the body of Christ, if there's no great spiritual awakening, if we're not going to obey the will of God, then you got to realize that even before the judgment of the nation, the dogs of hell will come to rule America. The dogs of hell, with the ideology of hell, with the laws of hell, with the laws that will open the door for the platform of the Antichrist himself. And you and I, as believers, what are we going to sit back? We're going to do nothing? Not this man. Not this man. I know what it is to feel the presence and the power of God to repent. I know what it is for God to put into my heart to pierce America with fierce prayers, to stand against radical evil, expose it, pray against it, fight against it, but also extend the gospel, see the grace of God that abounds over sin. I hear some people say the America is so sinful and they're so bad and we need to let it all go. That's not the will of God. That's not the voice of the Spirit of God. That's not the written, infallible words of God. That's evidence of a weak, broken down believer. If you're not going to fight, if you're going to give up, if you're going to go down into your basement and shut up, don't forget the judgment seat of Christ, where every believer, whether good or bad, be scrutinized. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, how is it that you're shining light? Did you realize that you could become very, very, very strong? Did you realize reading Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about how their weaknesses were turned into strengths? Did you realize that God's power is available today? That the call to take up the cross, to do the mission of God, to reach the world? Did you know that evangelism out there on the field brings the highest level of God's active presence, extraordinary miracle, power, and backing? All you got to do is read the book of Acts. They encountered the kings of the earth. They encountered Herod. They encountered proconsuls. They encountered religious Pharisees. They encountered the ruling elite. All by himself, Philip went into Samaria, where demonic stronghold over the city as a whole, where the low people, the high people, everybody was captivated by the sorcerer. The sorcerer was in power. The city was dark. The city was godless. The city was bound for hell. And Philip, being chased by the persecution of the church, by the murderous threats of Saul of Tarsus, the church was scattered. Did Philip sit on the sideline and say, "Well, look at the church, it's scattered, it's weak. I won't even bother with church anymore"? Is that what he said? The church is scattered and Saul of Tarsus is after us. I'm going to go run up north where I can hide behind some rocks. Is that what he said? Philip, in his love for Christ, stayed obedient to the Great Commission. And I want you to hear me right now. If I have ever asked you for anything, I ask you to hear me right now. God, the eternal God, the living Christ, has not withdrawn his command to his church, to you as a believer, to me as a believer. He has not withdrawn the call to make disciples of every nation, to go to every creature, to every human being, and preach the good news. He has not withdrawn his call to go to the highways and to the byways. He has not withdrawn the clothing of power that would make us fierce, unstoppable, indefeatable witnesses of Christ. He has not withdrawn his pledge to be with us to the end of the age. Anybody that stands up and steps out in the Great Commission, anybody that stands up and steps out to be clothed with the power of the Spirit of God, will find out that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We'll find out the fire of God. We'll find out that they can be the cause of revivals. They can be the spark that ignites a church into massive prayer, that ignites other believers to get out on the streets and witness and win others to Christ, to win politicians to Christ, to pray against the evil. And I want you to know that part of the fierce prayer and part of the prayer platform we're going to develop in the next number of months, it will involve prayers of grace. It will involve fierce praying. It will involve repentant prayers. And it will involve praying that God would even remove wicked politicians who are obstacles to the will of God. God has done it in the past, and God can do it now. I believe there should be a holy sense of God's presence there in the White House. There where they do the voting, there where they do the meetings, there where they, well, in years past when Lincoln bowed down and prayed for hours to God, to Christ, either it becomes a doorway for the hand of God or a doorway for globalism, masqueraded spirituality, and ultimately a platform for connecting to the, well, to the rule and the reign of Antichrist. Can I tell you tonight, I don't care how weak you feel. I don't care if you feel like you've given up. I pray the Spirit of God's fiery conviction on every single believer listening to this voice tonight. I pray the Spirit of God's fiery conviction that we will not be willing to let one soul perish. God's not willing that anyone perish, that none should perish. God's willing that a nation be influenced with godly laws. God's willing that a nation be infused with His blessing. God's willing and wills that a nation would believe Him, that a nation would obey Him. Go ahead and read it. Romans 16, verse 25, verse 26. God's will is the goal of saving a nation, leading a nation to obedience, guiding its politicians to the kind of righteousness biblically defined, the kind of goodness biblically defined, the kind of development of, well, soldiers and law enforcement that bear the sword on real, biblically defined radical evil. Are you willing to give up America? Are you willing to give up your grandchild? Are you willing to give up your granddaughter? Are you willing to give up your father, your mother, to the devil and to hell itself? Did you not remember the Spirit of God would infuse you with the living Christ, with a love that would be moving you to go anytime, anywhere, whatever the cost, reach the lost? I believe that politicians can be filled and clothed with the power of God and reach fellow politicians. I believe that ideologies can change. I believe that laws can change. I believe that prayers, fierce prayers, can help lead a nation to God. I believe that fierce, authoritative prayers against the devil's work. After all, have you read 1 John 3:8? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Destroy it. Tonight, as you listen to this voice, Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. There's a bunch of free stuff. There's a conference I'll be doing this Saturday in Michigan, Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I'll be teaching and answering questions for about 6 hours. We'll be down in St. Louis, April the 9th and the 10th. St. Louis. And our prayers have been flying over that city. And our prayers will be pouring out whether we drive or fly into that city, joining others. At the end of April, I'll be flying in or going into Nashville again. All the prayers, fierce prayers, prayers for the extension of the will of God, the kingdom of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And prayers based on the authority of Christ against demonic encroachment, against the work of the enemy to be destroyed. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. I pray that we'll be able to do a conference in Montana and in California and in Canton, Ohio. I'm asking you to pray for these conferences and all that we're going to be doing. Listen, check it out, shatterthedarkness.net. Listen, we can either sit back and do nothing, do the wrong thing, or get up and do the right thing like David in the face of Goliath by the power of the living God. God bless you and good night.